1 John chapter number 2. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. And my wife tells me I brag too much on them. I'm just amazed how God's using them. And I praise the Lord for that. I hope it's a blessing to you. And I've tried to pray for them, Brother Broughton, before they even come out of the womb, for God to use them. And I want them to know it's about the Lord. It's not about entertainment. Not about business. It's about worshiping God. That's what we want to do. Amen. Don't need any more of that, do we? All right. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And you find your place. Let's all stand if you would. Appreciate the opportunity once again to stand in this pulpit and preach. I appreciate Brother Richardson. And as a young preacher, he's took me under his wing and helped me a lot. I call him on the phone. Been a great blessing and a help to me. And he asked me to preach over there. And he asked me after I already had my second hot dog on the plate. So forgive me for throwing half of that second one away, all right? But appreciate everything this church has done for us. And the Lord burned my heart. Actually, last night, Brother Watkins here, and I preached this last night at the church there in a revival meeting. But this is what the Lord has laid on my heart, and I believe it will go right along with what's been said here today. Appreciate you men preaching and helping me today. 1 John 2 and verse number 18. John said, "Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." I want to take this verse here in verse number 19. You notice he's talking about Antichrist, and there's many of them. We know it's the last time. And then he says, "They." These Antichrists at one time were with John and with the us that was here, but they didn't continue with them. I want to preach on this thought tonight, this morning, on "No Doubt We Continue." No doubt we continue. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd touch me. Give me strength to preach this morning. I pray that You'd help the men of God. I pray that You'd just touch my mind and help me to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach on that thought here out of this text, and I believe it'll go along with what's already been said. But John is saying here about this us here. I'm glad that I'm a part of that us, aren't you? And John says this us. He's saying they were not of us because the us that John was talking about continued in certain things that he said they were not continuing in anymore. And I'm a lot younger than most of you preachers here, and you could probably tell more stories of how it used to be and how it no longer is anymore, and some things that some men you knew of are not continuing in anymore. But we notice in the book of 1 John that there John is a preacher that made some definite statements. I mean, John, he didn't beat around the bush about what he had to say. But he says here, if they were of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. I believe he's saying that because we no doubt, if we're who we're supposed to be, we will no doubt continue in some things in the Word of God. He uses this statement about no doubt. And John uses some statements in the Word of God, and he says, "doeth not." He'll use in 1 John the phrase "doeth not," and he'll use the phrase "hereby we do know," and he'll use these definite statements in the book of 1 John. I don't know about you, when I read the book of 1 John, sometimes, Brother Park, I've got to go back and make sure on that night about 3 o'clock in the morning, when I sit on the bicycle, that I really got born again that night. I'm glad the Holy Ghost gives witness that I got in that night, and I'm living with a saved inward man, but the outward man is still wicked and ungodly. Hey, I'm glad that I'm going to be changed one day. But a man that's born again, I believe there's some things he'll continue in. If you look at the book of 1 John, there's some marks in the book of 1 John, chapter number 1. I believe one mark of a Christian is he is a confessing man. A Christian is a confessing man. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1, "This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son,
sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, what was wrong with that fella that wouldn't get up and confess his sin in the church and left the church and went on down the road? Hey, most likely he never had a new birth, friend. As a confessing person, he wants to get it right. He knows he won't prosper unless he confesses that sin and forsakes that sin. And the sweet thing about being born again is that sweet fellowship that we have one with another and with God in chapter number 3. I'll get to chapter 2 with the message in a minute, but chapter number 3, a mark is the purification in a Christian's life. I mean, hey, the Bible said in 1 John 3 and verse number 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I'm glad I'm going to be different. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. And he said, in every chapter 1, a Christian is a confessing man. Chapter 3, a Christian is a purification person. That's a mark in there. And chapter 4, there's the affection. The Bible says, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And now if you say you love God, and not just the Father, but a mark is you love the brethren, as was spoken of. And God said, I'm on this subject, Brother Clark. I mean, hey, you love God, and you love the children of God, if you've ever been born again by the grace of God. Somebody that's been born again. And chapter number 5, there's a possession that marks every born again child of God. The Bible says this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hey, you say, how do I know I'm born again? I'm led the Father and the Son by the Holy Ghost came to life and made their abode on the inside. And I've been born again, and I possess Jesus Christ. Amen. All these things in 1 John is marks of a true born-again Christian. Chapter number 2 that we skipped over is a continuation. I'm not for this. I believe 90-something% of those that are rebels and get out of the house of God are just got one problem. They've been born again. I understand there's some lot Christians, but I don't believe there's many lot Christians as we think, dear friend. I believe there's a lot of unborn again people. J. Harold Smith said one time, was it up in the 80% some he thought was lost people on the way to hell sitting on church pews? That's what he said. I believe I remember there. Hey, they're continuing some things. You say, well, what about these men of God that stood in the pulpit? That doesn't make them born again, friend. The marks of a true Christian will be in their lives. He said these antichrists. He said, I didn't notice that till now, but he said they went out from us. Those antichrists went out from John and those that were continuing. Hey, John in Acts chapter number 1, after Jesus, they said to him in Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus shall so come, in like manner as you've seen him go away. And they went back to Jerusalem, and they assembled all the apostles. It said John was there, and it said, and these continued in supplication and in prayer. I mean, they continued in the things of God. I believe, no doubt, we continue. No doubt. Children of God, continue. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I'm preaching we'll continue in some things. I want to use Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to turn there, but and what it says over there, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and there was added to them about 3,000 souls. And the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So the verse I'm going to use as an outline, no doubt that God bound for this book.
Yes,
amen. We can't waver. I'm telling you, we live in a day where doctrine's thrown out the door. Bible, I mean, you can't preach the Bible without preaching doctrine. We're not in division. The problem is they're after that filthy lucre. Doctrine, which simply means instruction. So it means learning, teaching. The Bible said a man that labors in the Word and especially labors in doctrine, he's worthy of double honor. A man ever tells you he's a preacher and he says, I don't work, labor in doctrine, say, well, I'm not going to honor you one little bit. And especially a double honor, it says labor in the doctrines of the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, Paul told Timothy, he said, what you've learned as a child, he said, all Scripture is given the inspiration of God. I know what he said. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all right.
Amen.
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 Doctrine is not a dirty word.
Amen.
We traded doctrine for experience. John Phillips said you should never base your doctrine off your experiences, but your experience off your doctrine.
Amen.
There's a fellow telling a story the other day. I was listening to something on the radio. Finally found it, a little bit of a clean spot. Hard to find. But he was telling about how, we got a day it seems like men are wavered on doctrine because people don't want it.
Our
sins. Yeah. I dare say one of us here, the devil's got on your shoulder and said, you just shake it off a little bit right here.
Come on. Yeah.
Your emotions get all worked up. This preacher said to Brother Richardson that he is a 17-year-old boy who's going to get his everything fine license and on time I'm going to prize when I go up and meet the Lord. Well, I better not say that word. Let me go across the sea, preacher. He said he had to get his license. He went up there and said the last maneuver that they were supposed to do to get their license was called the graveyard spiral. Anybody ever heard of that? The graveyard spiral. And said whenever they got up to a certain place, that man would come over on that thing and he'd say, all right, go into graveyard spiral. And he'd put the nose up and start falling directly back toward the earth. And everything was backward. Hey, doesn't it seem confusing this day? Perplexed, I'm glad I'm not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. But he starts falling. He cannot listen to his emotions. He's got to keep his eyes on the gauges. Because the gauges never lie. The gauges, I'm glad this book right here never lies. I'm glad it's quick and powerful and sharp, meaning two-edged sword, interceding the mind, asunder soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to continue this book, Brother Broughton. I pray a lot of times on my face somewhere. You men of God been in it for years. I know I can fall, and hey, I don't want to fall. I want to preach this book until the day that I die. And no doubt God's men continue.
Yes.
I believe you, God's man, you mess up, you'll discontinue representing it from the pulpit. And we continue in doctrine. No doubt, God's man will continue in the right salvation doctrine. Romans chapter number 6 says in that, and that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Hey, Paul believed in doctrine. He told young Timothy over there, you so a preacher, they don't care. We've got to give them the gimmicks. We've got to give them the games, give them the programs. And we've got to make the parents and even have all these programs on Wednesdays and all that. But for the children, I'm not sure all of them are some wrong. But hey, what about in the house of God on prayer meeting on Wednesday night? And teach the little children how to pray and how to hear the Word of God. Hey, what's wrong with that?
Hey.
Was it not working when all that went off the door? Well, they're not working. We have to change it and leave the kids off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Naked up 19-year-old, they ain't been in the sanctuary. They ain't been under the preaching of the Word of God and the prayer. I know some of them, they are learning the Bible. I'm not saying every single one, but the majority of ones I've seen, and I'd say 90-some percent of them, is just a little bit of Bible and a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get you folks. This is just what I think about all right. Doctrine! They get up there, all they know about church is fun and games. Hey, we went away from doctrine. Doctrine divides. Doctrine divides. The salvation doctrine of by grace through faith. I hope I didn't turn anybody off what I said, but I'm not being me, but I'm not apologizing. Stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths where it's a good way and walk therein and you shall find rest and your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Hey, Paul preached about here. They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered them. And then there's the perfecting doctrine. We need to continue it. Over there in Ephesians said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of saints, that we all come to the perfect man. And he said to talk about that we not be turned about with every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we need some perfecting
preaching.
Yeah. I believe God's man, he's right. He'll preach against sin.
Amen.
He'll preach separation. He'll preach hellfire and brimstone. You say, why? Because he don't want sinners to die and go to hell. He'll preach it. It doesn't matter if a man pops in $300 a week in the offering plate. The man of God's going to stand and say, this is the doctrine of God's Word, and I will continue it.
Amen.
They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Salvation doctrine. That perfecting doctrine, but sound doctrine. I understand we need to teach Christians and have some long suffering. Paul told Timothy over there in the last days, perilous times shall come from men who be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. He is right over there. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, incompetent, sincere, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God. He goes on to talk about how they withstood Moses and they withstood him. We'll stand in the man of God and the authority of our day. We'll stand, they'll wax worse and worse, evil men, and subdue churches. And he didn't say like some of my buddies or word buddies, swallowing goldfish in the sanctuary because they got in the bus.
Go ahead,
I'm not joking. What's in nonsense?
Amen.
In God's house. I'm nobody, I'm just trying to preach.
Amen.
Just a bunch of games. And a preacher, I heard one, he preached in his boxer shorts on top of the church because they got to become the big number. Yeah. Entertainment.
Yeah.
This is what God give me. Y'all endure it, all right?
Yeah.
Hey, I believe what's been said here. I don't want to dismiss fellowship of anybody, but there is sometime we've got to stand for what's right, and we can do it in compassion and love, and don't have to be hateful, but just nicely say, I'm sorry, I can't go along with that. I will send this book out here and begin to sound doctrine, healthy, home doctrine, functioning well doctrine. Some people are going to leave.
Amen.
No doubt we continue. Now what John said?
No,
he said, no doubt they would have continued with us. And I believe what he's saying because no doubt we continue.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You look over there in Titus. He said these. He sent them back down there and he said, I rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. And he said, you do it with sound doctrine.
Yeah.
You know why? He said, because they're subverting whole house. I'm not saying anything to this little girl that's missing. My heart goes out to her mama on there, sitting in the hotel we're in about her crying her eyes out. I hate to see that. I'm not saying anything. But you know what happened? Men of God, it's something that after that subverted whole house in the next chapter, he got in Titus chapter number 2. That's missionary, aren't we? Mama can't stay at home, preacher. Well, maybe you don't have to have two cars.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have to have the best house on the block. Maybe you don't have to have cable television. And maybe, just maybe, if most mamas was at home with the children, just Bible. That's anything outside the book. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I understand the time that some people just came. I mean, we've got to let mothers come to our church. I don't know what else they can do. I know people have problems. I understand that. But it doesn't change the book, friend. And America's ideals of court sound doctrine that the women be chaste keepers at home and the husbands will love their wives and all of that, friend. And that's why children are forsaken this day and left out here with the predators to get them. Hey, they're going to have a hard time coming in my house and getting my children. They may get them free. It's going to be with a 12-gauge shotgun, the best I can, beating, fighting, bombing, whatever I've got to do. Got to keep them off my children. And hey, it's not an easy thing, I understand.
Right.
I'm not saying it's easy. And just, I know how hard it is. But it's still a book. Sound doctrine. We'll go to Titus chapter number 2. Whole houses had been subverted, turned upside down.
Because of the unsound doctrine.
Do you continue in that, man of God? It's not easy. We started a church, and there's a family that had been saved this sometime back whenever I was pastoring a different church. They came back and they had some problems. I'll just tell you, they had some problems. He lost his job. He never missed any bills. Then his wife, he hurt his back, and his wife had to start working. And I understand that a little more. That was something like that going on. I believe that was the best you can do. But she was kind of embarrassed because I had preached this, and I hadn't really even preached it that hard because there's new converts. I do try to teach them slowly, but hey, we've got to at least have our goal as getting some sound doctrine in the Word of God. Paul said, I shun not to declare unto you the whole testimony of God. And he said, my hands are pure from the blood of all men. Hey, we don't have to give in to society's demands and society's standards, dear friend. Hey, we need sound doctrine. No doubt. We continue. And I'm praying God will give me some wisdom. Everybody in the church we started, they ain't like that. They don't know anything about that. And I'm praying God will give me wisdom to do it the right way because the devil's going to get in there and tell them you can't do that. And y'all know what I'm saying. I'm trying to be balanced here. I believe it's right. I believe every man of God will stand up and continue in the doctrines of the Word of God. And John said, no doubt, we continue in these things. And one of the things they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
Right.
Hey, we need to continue in the doctrines of this book. Continue in it. Isn't this a great book? Hey, praise the Lord for this Bible right here. Praise God. I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad that God put me into the family of God and put me in a church. And then I moved off to East Tennessee playing ball in college and met my wife. And I got under some men that preached to me and helped me and did it in love. But they did it some sound, healthy, functioning doctrine that helped me along the way. And I look back. We need to continue in sound doctrine. I still believe all the answers of life's in this book. At least my inward man does. My outward man wants to scoff and laugh at it sometimes. I'm just being honest. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I used to do this, and I said, I won't do it in camp meeting. I'll be kind of dignified, but I'll go ahead and do it. Girls, what a steadfast man.
Keep on keeping up.
Say, why you do that, preacher? Because lately, in a year and 2 months, it's just about been me and Stacy and the girls, and sometimes I need some encouragement. Say, y'all say that, what that steadfast man said.
Good.
Go find me a room somewhere and say, God, I've knocked on doors, I've prayed, and nobody cares. And why ain't you sending them? The Holy Ghost says, He's tugging at them. He wants them to come.
He does.
When they get there, He wants them to have some sound salvation doctrine. They get born again. I believe God's will for every born again person is to be saved, and those saved people be separated, and those saved separated people be serving God. And there's some plans we need to continue in. And I've been at 40 years, this church is continuing. I tell you, first time I walked in, I felt at home with us good singing and lifting up the name of God and the preacher. And I thank God that somebody was willing to continue in the doctrines of this Bible.
They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Man, I wish I could bring more out of that doctrine, but let me go to the next one. Steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in, was it fellowship next? Thank God for the sweet fellowship of the children of God.
Yes,
best definition I ever heard, Brother Berman Kate gave.
Yeah.
Heard Brother Berman Kate?
Oh, yes.
Two fellows, two or more fellows in the same ship.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hey,
I'm glad I'm not in this ship by myself. What about you? I'm glad you men are in this ship. And I wasn't trying to run you out of the ship with what I said earlier. I'm glad we're in the ship together. I tell you, it's a lot easier to have faith in somebody else in the ship when Satan's rocking the boat and Satan's got his snares and Satan's knocking some holes in the boat and it's rocking the lightning's blaring. It's a lot better to have somebody else in the boat with you. And it's easier to have faith when somebody else is with you, a fellowship with you in the boat. I mean, hey, I don't fish much. I don't get the boat because I can't swim. But it's a lot better. I'm called fishing in the boat.
We're all fishing.
That fellowship. I agree with the men of God. I want to watch out about who I do dismiss fellowship with. But I can't get with a man to go down the NASCAR circuit and pray boogie boogie after his prayer.
Come on.
Smack Christian my pulpit.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And I talk to him. I can't get along, as I said earlier, these fellas swallowing goldfish.
Amen.
Then you preach at their church and you walk back in the back and they say, "Preacher, do you like talking? Or are you against that too?"
Yeah.
I just want Brother Olaf to tell you guys. I just don't like the taste of coffee.
Yeah.
Just making any sense. Brother Clark, I don't want to be. Sometimes you feel like you just. I get tired of myself and I want to check myself out. Like, hey, we can't fellowship with everything. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that ain't my little opinions or my little preferences to reprove them with, but a simple walk. Hey, praise God for that message. Just that simple walk with the light shining. Hey, look how small I am and how great God is. I don't want to just kind of say to everybody else, but there has to be a stand in the right fellowship. No doubt we continue in fellowship.
Yeah. You're right.
Hey, you don't like hanging around the house of God after the service is over. You didn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as it's over, you're out of there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I feel like that pastor a few times, but I can't back there.
Sure.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's not because of me, but God puts something on the inside. No doubt.
Yeah.
I went home between service and said, "God, it wouldn't bother me if I never saw them again." You said the same thing. Say, "Well, comes in there, preacher, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of perfectness." Hey, that's not easy to do, friend. But hey, we can do whatever we can to continue in fellowship.
Amen.
I understand, right? The whole reason for church discipline is to get fellowship restored and have that sweet serenity. And hey, the house of God ought to be a place we can get together and worship God and love one another and shine the light.
Amen.
I ought to be real careful dismissing fellowship. There's got to come a point. There's some fellas I can't stay in the ship with.
Yes, sir.
They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Don't be afraid to stand up here and preach that book.
Amen.
They continued steadfastly in fellowship. And breaking of bread. Now, I might understand what he's saying there. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. And I'll just say there we ought to continue the ordinances of the church. I'm coming to a close here in just a minute. Those things are important. He said, you do show my death. You show his death till he come. Till he come. He hadn't come yet. He's coming though. Hey, that ought to no doubt make us continue in the doctrines of the Word of God and continue in fellowship. I mean, loving the house of God. We still love to be around God's people and love the singing and love the preaching. We don't need contemporary garbage. We don't need to turn to the pulpit. Hey, we don't need preaching. And if that ain't enough for you, you better make sure you got born again.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Is that right?
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Where was I at? Breaking the bread. Thank you, Brother Broughton. Oh, me. I scribbled all this on about 3 pieces of paper and just in my crutches I can look down. Breaking of bread. Hey, that's a time of examination, isn't it? It ain't just Rick Warren that don't believe in not preaching on those examinations and sin. There's not every church, but all these churches that are growing leaps and bounds while somebody's cut corners.
Yeah.
I say most of them.
Yeah. Amen.
That's just how I've not ever won. There's still some good men of God. I tell you what I've seen, if you find out what all's going on down there, it's a whole lot of games, gimmicks, and programs, and things like that, and less preaching.
Yes, right.
Less and less doctrine.
Amen.
I got to go on. We need to continue, Brother Richardson. Thank God you continued in the Lord's Supper and believer's baptism by immersion.
Yeah.
So, preacher, that's elementary. That's because your blood wasn't shed for it.
Yeah.
My blood wasn't shed for it.
That's right.
The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. He said, and consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. He said, for ye have not yet resisted against the strife against sin. I can get it. About that blood, he's talking about you ain't had to shed your blood. The doctrines.
Yeah.
I dare say none of us, hardly any of us, have had to shed any blood for the ministry.
Right.
All I'm saying is thank God for these doctrines of the Word of God. And the last thing they continued steadfastly in prayer.
Prayer.
They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Paul said, I would that first of all supplications and prayers and giving thanks be made for all men, for all that are in authority. And we ought to stand on our hind legs and preach against abortion and sodomy.
Amen.
And preach against this president and we better pray for
him. Amen.
Amen. Hey, men of God, they used to preach against it. They used to be, as Brother Richardson said, the moral agent in society was a man of God breathing fire out of the pulpit. And hey, we need to stand against those things and pray for people and be a people of prayer. Y'all still with me? I don't want to go too long. This is my last part.
No doubt, John said people that were with him, they went out from us because they were not all of us. Not everybody goes out. Whether it was a reprobate or a heretic, God may move some people. But I believe people that go out of there mad if a man of God, mad if the doctrines of the Word of God, giving them trouble all the time, I believe they're part of that Antichrist crowd. He said, no doubt we continue in prayer. Say, what could happen if we continue in prayer? When's the last time you prayed somebody out of jail? Hey, Peter was over there. That church, they started continuing real problem. They started praying, and then they started being persecuted. Then they started preaching, and then they started praying, and there's a preaching and persecuting, being persecuted, and there's preaching, and there's praying, and hey, there's going for God, and hey, he was on his deathbed in there, and he's going to be killed just like John upon the next day, but he's sound asleep. And we stay up all night worried about it. Peter between two soldiers, bound this crap. I'm guilty. What's God going to do? What am I going to do? I've never been bound between soldiers and chains in a dark dungeon somewhere, knowing most likely the next day my head's going to be chopped off. He was a sleep angel. I nudged him twice. And hey, I had to shout a light that didn't go wake up. You said, what's the problem? And the saints of God, prayer is being made by the saints of God, and they're continuing it. Paul and Silas are out there preaching. Let me close my Bible and ease your conscience a little bit. Let
me put the coat on. Hey. Paul and Silas out there preaching that demon possessed girl came by. She said, these men show us the way of salvation. Show us about the true God. How they, those men are working, and that woman made a problem. Her got mad. Hey, he said, if I read that light, Paul and Silas on the way to prayer meeting. They got intercepted and they put in jail. And you know what they did? They bound them, put them in the inner prison. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says the jail cell started to shake with the earthquake. And then all the jail cells was open. And they didn't leave. And the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
They's continuing in prayer. I appreciate the opportunity to preach today. I don't know what God said to you, but this has charged me. John said, no doubt, we continue. Let's don't give in to the educated crowd. Not saying there's anything wrong with it completely. I ain't found a lot of good in it. Let's don't worry about what society says. Hey, look at the shape our churches are in. Look at the shape our families coming out of independent Baptist churches are in. Are we wavering, men of God? I hope this has helped you to say, I'm going to no doubt continue. I'm going to keep it up. If somebody don't, there won't be meetings like this to go to. Brother Richard, come in here and get down. Hope something said to help you today. Everybody else seeing people departing left and right? Who's next? John said they would no doubt continue with us.